who here has ever done like an Advent reading or Advent calendar, that type of thing. I've done a few of them, and I've had a good time. And it's really a season of hope and great joy as we remember the time that 2,000 years ago, the earth was longing and anticipating the great Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who would come and bring freedom from sin and relief from the heavy burden that humankind felt, and also that he would make a way, that he would establish for them a saving friendship with God. So we're just kind of connecting with that event whenever we're in the Advent season. And if I had to use one word to encompass the Advent season, it would be expectation. Expectation. Advent is full of reminders for us to live expectantly. And I want to tell you that expectation plays a huge part in our lives, and sometimes an even bigger part than we're aware of. It changes the way that we live, expectation. Right? Christmas time's coming up. You've got kids. If you've got them, you've been a kid, you've had brothers and sisters, you've seen how the whole thing works out. Even the most calm and well-behaved child, at the expectation of what's going to happen in 2 or 3 weeks, they'll lose their minds. The night before. You can't get them out of bed any other time of the year without threatening them. No, you wouldn't do that, would you? Yes, get out of it now. But this one morning, they're just like, whoop, they spring out. They're up at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever it is. It's just because of what? Because the expectation that they have as adults. We have Christmas expectations too, and sometimes it can be kind of tough for some people, can it? We anticipate or we expect maybe getting together with some family members that, you know what, maybe things are a little bit broken. Between us. Sometimes we don't necessarily agree with the family members that we have. I'm fortunate in that I love my in-laws, and they're coming out, and I've got an expectation that I'm going to be rolling in some pie here. I am. I know it's coming, and my wife's a great cook. So much of it was passed on, and if you've had Julie's brownies, she's got the recipe from her mom, and she's ramped them up. She's taken them to a whole never level. But the one thing that didn't get passed on was the pie anointing. I don't know. So I have a big expectation that I am going to be pies. And I'm talking apple pie, pumpkin pie, custard pie. Who here, do you like custard pie? One of my favorites, so hard to find. And this thing is just, oh, anyway. So now I know we'll have a bunch of people just kind of popping by. The Rockers live across the street, so I know they'll be over. But, you know, others, you know, maybe you've got an expectation that at Christmas dinner, Uncle Frank is going to come over. He's going to drink too much eggnog and lose his shirt at some point, put a stocking over his head, and just embarrass everybody. So you're already tensed up in anticipation of this happening, right? Maybe you won't sleep all that well, but based on expectations, you know, even our bodies, right, they'll change based on expectation. Our economic system, right, it's a free enterprise. You know, it's driven by expectation. And economists and investors, they look at certain market information, and they come up with these, look at these indicators, and they forecast trends, and based on what they expect to happen, they chart a certain course of action, and we do the exact same thing. And did you know that the expectation of a downturn in an economy can in and of itself be the largest contributing factor to a downturn in an economy? It's true. Just the expectation of it. They make certain moves based on this thing sliding down, and you know what happens? Yep, sure enough, they actually contribute to it. They put some coals on the fire, and we end up in that place. And this is why we're looking at expectation this morning, because expectation can be more real than reality itself. Expectation can be more real than reality itself. And a lot of times we make choices every day, and sometimes we make them based on reality, And sometimes we make them based on expectations that really aren't really all that connected with reality. Do you guys ever find yourselves in that place? This is why we need to look at expectation. This is why, as a church family, we need to take a peek at this. And I'm going to ask Lights, if I could just, it's really pretty. It's green. Can you guys tell? It's green and red. All the holiday colors, but it's, I didn't want to get up on stage because I don't want to, does this, the place look nice this morning and so festive? We had some of our people come in and generously give us some time and talent, and it looks beautiful. So being expectant changes things, and sometimes it's more real than reality itself. You know that expectation changes the way we pray, or if we pray at all. Right? It changes our devotion times. Do we expect to encounter the living God in every page we turn to? And I want to tell you, you can take two people, or you can take the same person reading the same scripture verse, and whether it's 15 minutes or a half hour or an hour in the morning, and I want to tell you what, there's a world of difference between the one who's just reading it to check it off on the good little Christian checkbox list and the one who is, for however long they're in, is just looking to encounter the living God. And that expectation alone will change their reality, change their experience moment. It changes things. Are we expectant that God can grow us this morning as we have gathered and as we've worshiped, as we have encountered his presence? Do we expect that God will grow us this morning among our brothers and sisters? I want to tell you that if you do, that it'll change the way you listen. It'll change the way you listen. So, why do we even need to talk about it? It seems like a pretty natural thing to do, right? To live in expectancy. Well, that's because we all know that's not true from personal experience. But the challenges of living out our faith can make us tired. We can become weary. We can feel like giving up. Now, this is not saying we feel like we're going to quit on God or we're not going to be believers anymore. But sometimes we can lay down the things that we used to believe for God to do in our lives, the breakthroughs that we so needed. Sometimes we can give up on the word that we've held on to for our children, and we can just lay it down, step back from that thing that we were pressing into. Sometimes we might even hit the eject button on a ministry that is just about ready to have to take off and just about ready to have tremendous impact, and yet we can hit the eject button on something if we don't have the expectation that God is going to move in it. Are we beginning to see how important expectation is and how fragile expectation is in our lives and in our hearts? Advent is a season of renewed hope, and we remind ourselves of the first Advent. And when we do that, it keeps us in expectation of the second Advent. And the second Advent is coming. It's Christ's return to the earth. And as we focus on that first Advent, it gives us fuel and it gives us it touches our hearts to be able to stay in expectation for that second Advent, when the time when all of our struggles will end, all sorrows will cease, every tear will be dried, and all suffering and shame will cease. And in that day, there will be no opposition to the reign and rule of Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. Now there's some opposition. Have you guys felt it? Yep. So here's what we're going to do. This morning, the passages that we're going to look at are found in Hebrews 12. And I would recommend just even this week that you look at and read Hebrews 11, chapter 11, and reread chapter 12 as we look. There's so much in there. There's about a year's worth of Sunday talks in those two chapters alone. But I'm going to take it easy on us today. We're just going to focus on three verses, okay? So, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Testament this morning. Typically, I do the NIV, but there's a specific reason that after looking all week, and my wife will tell you, this week, I mean, it was a tough road. Sometimes it comes easily, and I knew that I had a specific place that God wanted me to go, and I had a word very early on, but it was one of those weeks where God had something precious for me, this gym, and I just had to do a little bit of mining and a little bit of diving down to get it. But Hebrews 12:1, we're going to put it up on the PowerPoint for you. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." So, who is this crowd that the Apostle Paul is talking about? Whoever's writing to the church here, who is this crowd? If we look back in chapter 11, we'll see. Chapter 11 is really called the Hall of Faith. And there's so many that are in there, right? Moses, David, Noah, Abraham, Enoch, Isaac, just on and on and on. Abel. On and on, this list of the people that were faithful, and we call it the Hall of Faith. So he's saying that crowd, quite impressive, isn't it? You know, that they are watching us. They're watching how we live our lives. They're looking at how we are responding to that day and age, which they saw, but they only saw from a distance. And we see it up close. We have Emmanuel. We have God with us. And the whole world is always looking for that time when Christ would come. And here they're looking at us. A lot of times we're looking at them, aren't we? They're heroes or champions of faith. They persevered and lived out their faith, obeying God, and stayed the course even in the face of faith struggles because of expectation. Expectation was the key. And what was the expectation? That God would fulfill his promise. God would fulfill his promise. And I want to tell you that every promise that God has ever made flows out of and is founded on the promise. And the promise is that there would be a great king that would come, a Messiah, a Savior that would rescue us, and that he would stop at nothing to make things right. This crowd of witnesses, this hall of faith, they saw the day that we're in at a distance. So, how do we get expectation? We want to obey. We want to stay. We want to run that race. I want to, and I know a lot of you do too. We want to run that race. We don't want to fall out. We don't want to hit the eject button. We don't want to grow weary and give up. So how do we get to expectation? How do we return to expectation? How do we grow in expectation? And I want to tell you, there is one way. So we just go down the next verse in Hebrews 12, verse 2, and it says this. We do this by what? Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. That's a key phrase, disregarding. Can we disregard things that will come up against our expectation? About we're running our race. Where does the ability come to disregard circumstance and live in expectation? Now, he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And we sang about that this morning, actually quite a bit, that Jesus is our champion, that Jesus is seated on the throne, that he's with the Father. That Revelation gives us a great picture of that. And I want to tell you that we keep our eyes on Jesus because where we place our eyes determines our level of expectation. Where you place your eyes will determine your level of expectation? Do we have them placed on our limitations and our frailties and our inabilities, or do we have them placed on the champion, the pioneer, the one who, the initiator, the perfecter of our faith and his great power and his great abilities? Where are our eyes? Where do we have them placed when we get up throughout the day? Are we placing our eyes on Messiah, on Jesus? The writer here in this translation calls Jesus the champion. And I want to tell you, after looking through all the meanings and going into the original languages and the Hebrew thought, Jewish thought on it, I want to tell you that this is a great translation. Jesus called the champion. And then the writer even defines a little bit further what it means to be the champion. And the champion is the pioneer and the perfecter. Some of your translations might have, what, initiator? Or the one who completes our faith. He is the pioneer and the perfecter. And the pioneer, yeah, really that word, if you break it down, it talks about being the hero or being a founder of a cause or a founder of a city. And in Hebrews 6:20, it reads this, and it says that Jesus has already gone there for us. Jesus is the trailblazer. And as we sang, he's on at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He has blazed that trail to the Father, and then he comes back and reaches for us to guide us along this path. And I want to tell you that this path is sure. It is infallible. Jesus will never fail. He's gone, and he's made this path, and he comes back for us. In fact, we have this example of all the Hall of Faith, the guys that we just talked about. And they're an example to us. That's why they're listed in the Bible for us to look at. And then we can go back in Scripture and we can look at their lives and we can see how their expectation and their faith and their obedience really work together with the plans of God and glorified him. And they are an example to us, but I want to tell you that Jesus didn't follow their example. They followed Jesus' example. I know what you're thinking. Well, weren't these other guys before Jesus? Jesus came in the New Testament, right? We got a lot of books in the Old Testament. He didn't like get on the picture till Matthew. Well, let's look at this. Read Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in his image. It's clearly talking, it's a type of Christ in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who was in the fire and in the furnace with them, was Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and in 10:3 he says this, he says that the Hebrews were in the desert, in their desert experience, that they drank a spiritual drink that flowed from a rock. And you know who he says the rock is? That rock in the desert was? Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you that Jesus was their example. He was always part of God's salvation story, hidden, but then in the New Testament, just right out front. He's the perfecter of our faith. He's the pioneer and he's the perfecter, and he perfects us as we draw closer to him. And I want to tell you, if you want to run the race and run the race well, there is no other lane to be in except the Jesus lane. And there's all sorts of them marked, and people will encourage you to get in the other lanes. There's pressure from everywhere, all the time. But if you want to endure, if you want to stay in expectation, you just stay right in that Jesus lane. Because Jesus is the pioneer, we can endure because he endured. We can endure. We can stay in expectation because he endured. He took upon himself the weight of every shortcoming, every mistake, every moral failure, every evil deed, everything that was ever spoken against God, and he accepted it on himself. Even the thoughts, the sin of the thoughts of every person. Now, we know how it feels sometimes. Ever hear? We've all felt the burden of our sin. We've all felt kind of the crushing load and the thing that it wrecks our lives and robs us of peace. Can you imagine all of that poured out in a moment on a person? Jesus endured. We can endure because he endured. The joy. It says, that's what he says, right? The writer of the scripture says, in expectation, because of the joy awaiting Jesus, he endured. And because of the joy awaiting for us, if we focus on Advent and not just the first Advent, right? Not Jesus, just the baby, like Ricky Bobby. He loves him, some baby Jesus. I don't know where that came from. And that scene was actually just shot right across the freeway in a house on the peninsula. But we look for the Jesus, the coming king, the great warrior king. So in a way, it's kind of funny. But another way, you know what? It's coming back. And it's not going to be little baby Jesus. It's not going to be such a passive experience. Now you can kind of put off making a choice, but not in that day. I'd rather make my choice now because I know I've read to the end of the story and I know I'll be given a chance to make a choice later. But I kind of like this thing on top of my shoulders. He'll stop at nothing to rescue us. He is our champion. And expectation lets us disregard our circumstances and run with endurance. Because sometimes when we run the race, it's tough, isn't it? Who here has ever run track? I ran some track. I hated to run, so I was kind of conflicted. Track was just a way to get in good with the football coach and some other things. But I ran track. You know what? And track shoes, I got my first pair of track shoes. You know, and those things hurt after running just a short race. It came against me. It made me want to quit. It'd be hot in the Central Valley in California during the track season. A lot of times it could be 95, 90 degrees, 100 degrees. And man, I'm telling you, the heat would make you weary and you would want to wilt. I saw some tracks and we played some schools that didn't have a big budget, and I want to tell you that some of the times the track would just have tire marks or holes in the track. There'd be ruts that you can get in. We got ruts that we can get in our lives, can't we? Sometimes I actually saw one time a uniform fail. Boop, 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 boop. It wasn't me, but you know it's tough to run a race, a 100-yard dash, when at 30 yards you're backside's hanging out. But we can endure all of these things that come up. It's expectation. The guy won the race, too. I guess he had an expectation. He was going to win because I just would have stopped. Just started backing up. To the finish line? I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. I wasn't that good, so it didn't really matter. Champion. We're going to look at champion before we move on a little bit because we've talked about, I've referred to Jesus the champion. In this New Living Translation, they use the word champion. They incorporate in the translation. And I want to tell you, after looking through the Jewish mindset and some of the Hebrew and the Greek meaning and everything that it meant, I want to tell you that it's a very, very accurate very, very accurate description of who Jesus is to us, who Jesus is to the world. If we were Jewish and we heard in the Old Testament, we heard somebody using the word champion, the word that's translated champion, would we be thinking of two things. The first thing that we would be thinking is that it means a mighty one or warrior. But the second thing for the word that's translated in 1 Samuel 17 is David and Goliath. But the word champion is actually not just one word, but it's a Hebrew phrase. And this Hebrew phrase that means literally the man of the space between. The man of the space between is translated in our Bibles as champion. And a lot of times in the battles, especially if you look back at the battle of David and Goliath, it's a perfect example of how one army would set up on one side of maybe like a valley, right, or a plain or something like that, and the other army would set up at the other side, and they wouldn't just kind of like go right at it, would they? They would sit on the other side. In the case of David and Goliath, and in that time, you know, there would be taunting going back and forth. They'd rattle their shields. They'd rattle their swords. They'd make boasts. They'd send out sometimes a man to stand in between both armies. And a lot of times battles were gained, battles were won, not because 10,000 or 30,000 people came over and beat up on 10 or 30,000 people together. Sometimes nations were conquered simply because one person stood in the space between as a champion and gained victory over a single opponent. And that's exactly why we can call Christ our champion. He is the man of the space between. But he's much more than that. He stepped out in the gap of good and evil, of life and eternal life and eternal death. He gained us victory in those places. Whatever gap exists between the soul and God, Jesus Christ has filled that gap. He's conquered that gap as our champion. He blazed a trail to God the Father, and then he comes back on this very, very sure, infallible path and says, come on, I'll take you to that place. And it's not based so much on our abilities, because a lot of times, I got to tell you the truth, I don't wake up in the morning sometimes feeling like a champion, feeling like a warrior, feeling like I'm going to kick down the doors of hell. Sometimes I'm just holding on. I don't know about you guys. You guys ever felt that way? That's why we need Advent. That's why we need to read these verses. This is why we need to set our eyes on Jesus, because these seasons and these times, seasons of the soul, will come in our lives. But the glorious thing because of Christ is we never have to stay there. We never have to stay there. We're not stuck in that place. It's not our destiny. We're not sentenced to it. Now, apart from Jesus, yeah, that's where we're going to end up. Apart from Christ, but with Christ, that's where we end up. And I don't know if this is mine. Expectation. We're just going to take a moment right now. Would you just pray that expectation would rise for every person in this room? You can pray it silently or out loud. Expectation. Rise up in this place. Discouragement, leave. So, how do we run when we don't, when we feel weary? In fact, our expectations are the wrong expectations. Things are just going to get worse and then I'm going to die. Have we had those expectations? Everything's going to go wrong. I expect that, you know, my coworker is just always going to make my life miserable. We can get in these expectations that'll just rob us from the reality of what's available to us. So how can I remain on the track, get in the right lane, and not back out of the race? Let's look at that. There's an answer in Scripture here. Let's go to verse 3 and 4. Think of all the hostility, it's talking about Jesus, he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your life in your struggle against sin. Think of all the hostility. I want to build on this a little bit and maybe break it down a little bit. I guess you really unpack is just kind of like, that's old school, isn't it? Unpack, drill down. Look at it closer. I don't know. But I'm going to use the message, Eugene Peterson's interpretation of this scripture, because it does it all in like a sentence really well. The message reads this in chapter 3. It says, verse 3, when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again. Item by item, that long litany of hostility that Jesus plowed through. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that the long litany of hostility, litany of hostility that he plowed through. When we do that, we won't grow weary and give up. We need to spend some time in the Gospels. The path to the Father that will not fail has been blazed. Jesus is a trailblazer, a pioneer. He's the initiator of our faith. He's our champion. And that's what Christmas is all about, is setting the life and the ministry of Jesus in front of us, going over those stories, like going over where he endured, and more importantly, looking at why he endured. Where was his ability? His ability is our ability to endure. Christmas is a great time for that. Advent is a great time for that. So, well, I want to look at and finish up by giving you a few tools, something that we can use this afternoon or Monday morning. And the first key is exclusivity. Exclusivity. If we want to enter in and stay in expectancy, then our hope must be solely in Jesus Christ. I know it seems so obvious, but don't we find ourselves putting our hope in other things? If you put your hope in the economy 3 or 4 years ago, especially around the Charlotte area, you know that the only safe place is Jesus. And the one thing that we want to learn today, if we don't learn anything else, is to rely on Jesus, to hope in Jesus to the exclusion of anything and anyone else. Exclusivity. Amen. The second thing is community. And I want to say this, that sometimes when we start living out of discouragement rather than expectation, we'll have a desire to pull out of community, and that's exactly the worst thing that we can do. A lot of times when we see that, it almost begins this circling of the drain. Why does it happen? Well, part of the reason is that when we live in discouragement rather than encouragement or expectation, we're kind of rough to be around. Isn't that right, honey? And because we're having such a tough go at it, we're conflicting with other people. We want to look for things and perhaps look for a person to blame in it. And all of a sudden, then we're more conflicted. We have more conflict going off, and it just starts this circle, and we just naturally want to pull out of community. But I want to tell you, that's exactly the worst thing that you can do. In fact, I can say this, that I've never met someone that was stronger and more secure and more expectant because they pulled out of community. Now, I'm not saying we haven't all maybe changed churches or done something because there were some things going on that were discouraging. But I'm talking about community in general, wherever we get that. Don't withdraw from community. Force yourself to stay connected. Because people, I want to tell you, if you're around people that have the expectation, you know what's going to happen? Is expectation will build in you. Community is so important. The number three thing is vision. So exclusivity, community, and I couldn't think of a word that ended in entity for vision. Visionity. Visionity. Vision. Right? Where we set our gaze, where who's captured our eyes, who's captured our thoughts, who's captured our heart. And when we set Jesus in front of us, expectations will build. You don't even have to try. You don't have to work harder at it. You don't have to muster it up. All you have to do is put Jesus in front of you, and expectation will build. Isn't that awesome? So how do we do that? I'll tell you the trouble is we put our eyes on other things, our problems that are, we put those before us. We can put the opinions of others before us. Our idols, our inadequacies, our past failures. We can place all of those things in front of us. We can set those things in front of us. We can put our vision on that. And I want to tell you that expectation will leak out of you in a minute. We're never more vulnerable than when we start looking at these things about ourselves or the opinions of others or our idols or our past failures. We are so vulnerable in that place. That's why we've got to be exclusively hoping in Jesus. That's why we need to stay in community. We need each other to stay in expectation. That's what I was trying to say. Visionating right now. So be active in setting Jesus before us. It's a constant goal. Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says to keep your eyes on Jesus. So we aren't talking about a drive-by glance. We aren't talking about, oh yeah, I put Jesus in front of me. I read how he endured and I did those things. Yeah, last week it was awesome. Or maybe it was the month before. Or maybe it was 20 years ago when you first got saved. I had Jesus all in front of me. It was awesome. I got saved. Well, is he in front of you now? No. It says to keep your eyes on Jesus. This constant pursuit that we have. It's really a choice that we have to make, and we can make it every day. Isn't that awesome? Because of Jesus, we have the freedom. We aren't bound to set all this other garbage in front of us and try and stay encouraged by looking at that other stuff. We can look at Christ Jesus. And this is the other thing I want to say, that Jesus is not merely a point to look on. Sometimes if you go to the dentist's office, my dentist, you got this little picture, and they kind of calm me down and says, look at that point, or look at those trees, or look at that third one over there, or whatever the picture is, right? There's something that he tries to get me to look at. But Jesus isn't just like a point where we put our eyes and look at. I want to say that he is our vision. He is our vision. That's a great song. Be thou my vision. Be my vision. I'm not just satisfied with the glance or the look or just this point that I look at, but it's a personal thing, right? You take that vision on, the vision of Christ. You take it on. Pray it. Be my vision. What's the vision of Ardent Faith? Jesus. Hope, expectation. All right, here's where we're going to land before we pray. there's a verse that I just want us to just soak in, and it's okay if we don't go right through it. I just want to take a moment and just take a holy pause. If we go to the next verse, this is connected to the verse. We read 6:20 where Jesus has gone there before. But the verse before it says this, this hope, and this hope is the path that Jesus has made, right? His the initiation that he made, his life and his ministry. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. This hope, this expectation that everything that Jesus said will come true in our lives. I'm preparing a place for you. I'll be with you until that day comes when I come back in glory. I'll be with you all the way through everything you go through to that day. That expectation, the thing that Jesus Christ has done, it says is strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. So the question is do we feel anchored? Our souls. Are we expectant? Do we believe that the work of Jesus, this path that he made to the Father, do we believe that it's infallible? That even when the infallibility and the weakness that we have in us, you know, it can't overcome what Christ has done. It's infallible. There's a sure way to the Father. Do we expect that? Do a word search on the word overcome in Revelation. Wow. For those that will overcome, for those that will stay expectant are going to be the ones that will endure. And for those that endure, they will rule with Christ. He's going to introduce you to the Father personally. He's going to write down the list and place your name in the book of life. Personally, Jesus will do it. Do you believe right now that personally that Jesus Christ is interceding for you? He doesn't stop. Even when we grow weary, even when we feel giving up, Jesus never stops. I want to pray for us right now. I see Johnny, if you could come up and just play something underneath for us. Have you felt a greater sense of being anchored in expectation? Like we can do this, even in the press when we make travel plans and we got visitors coming in, we got presents to buy, we've got all of the stuff that's whirling around us. You know, we don't have to leave this expectation. Yep, even the hard to deal with relatives, even the bill that's going to come in January. We don't have to be slaves to that. We can live in expectation. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just speak expectation right now, not based on just some warm, fuzzy feeling that we have this morning, and not just because the preacher said to, but because we believe your word, and your word assures us. Well, right now, in an instant, we want to be reminded that you endured so that we can endure today. We pray for hope to rise up in every heart this morning. Lord, because you endured, we can endure. And if we endure, there's so much that we can do in this world. We can cause others to be hopeful. We can cause hope and expectation to rise up in the people that live in our neighborhood, the people that we work with, go to school with, our friends, our relatives, and we can point them to the same hope. And as we're praying, if you'd like, just maybe this morning would be the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time that you've said, yeah, I need to put my hope back into Christ for the first time, or to put it there again. Just raise your hand so I can see. Thanks. Rise up, hope, in this place. Yes. Rise up, expectation. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Maybe you felt your heart, maybe you've been minus an anchor. And tie off on that anchor this morning. It is sure. It's strong. It's trustworthy. And that's where we place our hope. That's where we place. That's where we anchor our lives to. Amen. Amen. If you like, we can, there'll be people here that'll pray for you. This is a praying church. You won't have to go more than two or three chairs, any direction, front or back or on the side, to find somebody that knows how to pray for a brother or a sister. If you'd like to, you can contact me at any point. If there's some other things you want to talk about. Isn't it awesome to live in this time? The time where, just think, Abraham and Noah, everybody was looking forward to this time. And they could only see from a distance as faithful and as obedient and as mighty, and as much as we could admire them, they're looking at us, little old us. So run that race with endurance. Amen.